Hey everybody, welcome back to Check the Gate, a Film Lover's Deep Dive. I'm Bert, and as always, I'm joined here with Brandon.
Howdy.
And Michael.
What's up?
And today we are doing another Michael's pick. This is, we're getting you done early, man. We're closing you out. We started with you, now here we are. We're doing your 1988 pick, Big, which is a film about after wishing to be made big, a teenage boy wakes up to find himself mysteriously in the body of an adult.
Now, imagine that.
Yeah. To be fair, he said big, not 30.
Yeah.
I guess that is classifying it as big.
He just wakes up the next morning. He was 300 pounds. I'd be okay with that.
he's like, shit. I should have been more specific.
Michael, why this film?
Especially for a rom-com.
Well, you know what's funny?
That would be my question. Is this a rom-com?
On two different lists, just to get ideas, it was on there. But then I watched it on Disney Plus, and it was like comedy or whatever. But no, mm-hmm. I was like, well, I guess. But watching through it, I guess there is some romantic elements to it.
Also, this movie is rated PG.
Yeah, and there's an F-bomb in there.
There's a couple swear words, but... There's a giant F-bomb.
I feel like that's the threshold where it pushes it to 13, right?
And PG-13 existed at the time, too.
There's some heavy petting. And yes. Some...
Yep, petting, yep.
Yep. It was, I was shocked. I was like, oh, good thing my kids...
John Lovitz asked a woman to
smell his penis. Good things my kids are watching this.
In this movie.
Hey, what, Bert?
I said John Lovitz asked a woman to smell his dick in this movie.
Well, did he say neck?
Oh, did he? That's not what I heard.
like when they're dancing at the holiday party.
Yeah. Just okay.
I thought he said neck.
Anyway, PG film for the whole family.
Yeah,
for the whole family.
Even grandma.
So yeah, just a. I will say I do like this movie. Like, I've watched this movie a bunch growing up. Like, I just, as I'm watching it, I was just like, I don't know if I would consider this a rom-com.
No.
But here we are. It's all good. Yeah.
It was also a childhood favorite of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, like, I never actually explained why I picked it. But, yeah, like, I liked the fact of, you know, it's a movie about being a kid, wanting to grow up, and then doing everything you wanted to do when you're little, but now you're a grown up and have grown up money and have a loft apartment.
Yeah.
With a bunch of shit in it.
Trampoline
but
in it.
But then realizing, isn't it better to just be a kid and I have to worry about budget reports?
Yep. I like when he gets his first paycheck, $187, you know?
He's like, yeah, they really screw you, don't they? Brandon, you said this was a nostalgic movie for you too, growing up?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I watched it a lot.
It's weird that Tom Hanks is like 6 years away from winning, like 5 years away from winning his first Oscar when he looks so crazy young.
Yeah,
he's like 30 movie. Or something, right? 33?
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like he was like 20.
Yeah.
Just young baby face.
He had done... I'm like, obviously he was in the TV show Bosom Buddies, and he did Dragnet, and what was that? It was Robert De Niro. It was like punching lines or something like that, punch lines or something. But like, I feel like, and then is either this or Splash that really broke him out there. I mean, we're going to find out in the Oscars. He was nominated for an Academy Award for this movie, which doesn't seem like nowadays a performance like this would get nominated for.
Unless it's a role that like tugs on your heartstring, you know, like nostalgia. Like I don't know. There's something about this movie that just like makes you revert back to a kid, right? Like that's what we all like. I don't know what I'm trying to say here.
It's because of the montages, you know.
Like it was just such a good performance in making you feel like being a kid again, right?
Yeah, yep. And the fact that they're... One thing that always stuck out to me is the friendship in between, you know, the two boys. Mm-hmm. And, like, when you're a kid, you always just wanted a best friend just to do shit like that with. Like, that was me anyways, but...
Did you have one?
I didn't have any friends, but yeah.
Oh, damn.
I'm just kidding. No, I didn't.
I had like a really close friend like that, but we were never like neighbors. Like that, isn't that more the dream?
Yeah,
yeah. That's a good point.
We lived on a street with, this sounds like a joke, but like a bunch of old people on our street.
No,
literally lived a block away from my grandparents. There were no kids on my street, so like it was just my sister and I playing with each other, riding bikes, but couldn't really go all that far. Couldn't cross the street, so you could ride around the walk kind of thing, as long as you're on the sidewalk.
Same, pretty
much.
But, like,
we never had, like, it was, like, school friends and then church friends. And then I had one friend that was at both, so he was classified best friend.
But not a friend that lived next to you and you could talk to each other from your windows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, never.
In those short-range walkie-talkies?
Yeah. I always wanted to do that, too.
Never had that.
Don't you wish you could just go back, find a Zoltar machine, go back to be 13?
There's an arcade bar, and they have a Zoltar in there.
Do they?
Yeah.
I've seen him a couple times.
When I was at the Santa Monica Pier, like back in 2012, there's a picture of me with one, too. And I wished I'd be big, and it didn't work.
We did end up moving to Texas, so
everything is bigger here, so... It just took 12 years for the Zoltar to work.
Yeah.
It's like, hey man, there's a long line.
You got there eventually.
I'll put you in the queue, you know, take a number, and then I'll see what I can do, you know?
I never did get my little card that says your wish was granted, though. You know how many quarters I had to feed that thing before it finally went in the mouth? He made it look so easy.
Yeah, he nailed it twice.
Oh.
It's on government time. Or government timeline. We'll get back to you in 600 to 12,750 business days.
Your call is important to us.
Yeah. Dear caller, yeah.
You want to dive into this puppy?
Let's do it.
Like I said, it's a 1988 film. Top three films, 1988. Number three, Coming to America. Number two, a familiar pick with Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh.
And number one, Rain Man. I should also state that Big was the number 9 film of the year. This movie directed by Penny Marshall, this was the first movie directed by a woman that crossed $100 million at the box office.
Wow.
To which a ticket cost $4.11, which is equivalent to $10.88 our money. The budget for the film was $18 million, which is equivalent to $48.7 million. The box office, like I alluded to, was $151.7 million, which is equivalent to $410.8 million. The film was nominated for 2 Academy Awards, and it won 0. It lost Best Original Writing, and like I said before, Tom Hanks for Actor in a Leading Role. Should also say this is the second movie that begins with a young boy playing video games. Michael, you really have a type.
What, people playing video games or video games?
Just
or movies.
Movies starting with young boys playing video games.
True.
He's playing a Sega game in the last movie, baseball, mm-hmm. and then he was playing some sort of game that you have to type out
a floppy disk.
Which is insane because it's like not predefined options. It's like input text. I'm like, full. That is okay. You're telling me that existed? Okay.
That means it had to have some sort of directory of common responses, which is insane at the time.
Yes.
Well, and which is
especially
what he wants
on
to
like
make later.
A floppy disk, because he popped the floppy disk in the middle in the middle of the night when he was over at her house, so he carried that thing around.
Carried his floppy disk.
Inconceivable.
Wrong movie, Brandon.
Oh, shit.
Throwback.
Remember that? Last week? Ah, good times.
Many moons ago.
7, in fact.
Oh, yeah. 7 sleeps.
10 sleeps. Damn, you took a couple naps in there, too, huh?
I have a coworker that always says that. It's on Thursday, and she's like, one more sleep. And I'm like, shut up, Shannon.
Is it Friday yet?
Yeah.
That's Is what, it Friday I mean, yet? That's how we used to explain time to our little kids, like when they were younger.
Yeah, but. Yeah. And if you're listening, I'm sorry. Don't shut up. There's no way she's listening. If you do, hello.
If you are, no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Young Josh is just a regular old 13-year-old kid. He's got his best friend, like we said, lives across the street. Not even across the street, just right next door. Dank-ass walkie-talkies, Spider-Man walkie-talkies. They freedom to ride your bike, don't come home till the lights come on.
The dream, just, right?
Mm-hmm. Buy baseball cards, pretend you're pitching for the Yankees, look at all the girls you like but are too scared to talk to. We go to a fair, and young Josh is there with his mom, his dad, who we never see again in this movie.
Gone. Did he swap? Did he wake up and become his dad? Like, just walk out for milk one day and just never came back?
Well, went to go get that pack of cigarettes. Never came home. They're at the fair. He sees that one girl that he really likes. He's too scared to talk to, but she's in line for a big, scary ride. To which he's trying to tell his parents, no, I'm going to ride this. And it's like, it looks a little too scary for her. He goes, no, I'll be okay. You know, he kind of sheepishly gets in line with her. She asks him, she's like, hey, you ever been on this before? And he goes, oh, yeah, totally. Is it scary? Yeah. Are you here by yourself? Yeah. Aren't those your parents?
Is that your mom? No.
Taking smile. A picture of him in line with a girl. Picture. Smile. to which her boyfriend shows up, gives her a pretzel. She does the whole, he drives.
Yeah.
Great. He gets up to get on the ride, and the carny is like, yo, 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 small fry, you're a good foot too short. So you can't ride. The chicken says you have to be this tall to ride, and you ain't. So he very depressingly walks out of line, and then just like abandons his folks, just starts walking, and then he's mesmerized by a machine at the end of the carnival, where he walks to and sees it's a Zoltar machine, tells him to make a wish. Puts a quarter in, slides in its mouth. He wishes he was big.
I think I realized why you didn't ever get your card from the Zoltar machine.
So it wasn't plugged in.
It was plugged in.
Fuck me, that's right, because he unplugs it.
He unplugs it at the end. And he realizes that it was unplugged the entire time at the beginning, right?
That's why it's magic. That's why. That's 80s logic, baby.
Yeah.
Everything has to be plugged in, you know?
Remember when the Rite Aid's room, they were just like mounds of cocaine. And the machine's not plugged in. And if it isn't plugged in, then that's what the magic happens. It's
like, boom, promote it.
Exactly, promote it. Oh, but if it's not plugged in, how's it going to work? Hey, you know what? Yeah, out of here. Penny Marshall wants a machine that's not plugged in. She's getting a machine that's not plugged in.
That's how it works.
No. That's a good point.
Yeah.
He gets his card that says your wish is granted, and then, like you said, he realizes it wasn't plugged in. Kind of looks at it all weird. Okay. And I would love to know the timeline on when the magic happens, because it seems like it's overnight, obviously. Does him and his folks go home directly after that moment at the carnival? Because at the end of the movie, it just seems like it takes just the time of a drive home.
No, because remember, it happens like as he's walking across the street. So
that's what I'm saying. So it seems.
Or
like it just...
is it in her mind that she finally realizes that the inner child, like, and that's who?
No,
she
because
sees.
He goes inside and he goes, "Mom, I'm home."
And yeah, his little rascal suit.
Yeah. So.
It happens pretty quick, apparently.
Yeah, just so happens he goes home, conks out, wakes up in the morning, classic romp. You get the old man feet, not old man feet, but just older man feet coming off the top bunk, hitting the ground real hard. He's missing his mom at the right moments where she's coming upstairs trying to get him up. He's going in the bathroom.
My favorite part is when he pushes the baby into the kitchen and just rolls right past.
It's like feet sticking out. Looks in the mirror and he sees the face of a very young Tom Hanks. He flips out a little bit, but then it's just like, then he realizes he has that card in his pajama pants, and he goes, it worked. Starts playing with his chest hair, looks down his pants to see how, you know, stuff. see what he's working with. He gets excited. His mom wants him to come downstairs for breakfast. Obviously, none of his clothes fit, so he has to steal his dad's clothes. Luckily, his dad's never coming back to the house, so we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
The kid's missing, for crying out loud. We don't even hear him on the phone or anything. Nothing. He leaves the house real quick. His mom's like, what about breakfast? You know, what about breakfast? You know, he runs off, tries to go back to the carnival to reverse his wish. But alas, just like most carnivals, I guess they went on the last night because it's gone.
Packed up, hit the road, see you later.
You know, just a bunch of trash on the ground.
Yep.
My daughter goes, why'd they litter?
That's a great question.
Great question.
Because the trash cans were full and there was nobody to take care of them.
There weren't any more trash cans, apparently.
They took all of them.
He goes home, and wouldn't you believe his mom freaks out. He tries explaining to her, I made a wish on this machine, it made me big, I'm an adult now. She obviously doesn't believe him. He keeps telling her, I'm your son, my birthday is this day, I gotta be on my history test. She pulls like a kitchen knife out, thinks that he's obviously kidnapped her son, and what have you done with her? Done with him. He takes off running. I need to go find somebody who will believe me. So he goes and finds his buddy, Billy, who is funny because not the first time we see him, but, you know, he's in gym and he's playing basketball. And he goes for that layup and hits the bottom of the rim. And I watched that and I went, I did that exact same thing in the middle of an actual game.
He's cherry picking and like, here, pass it to me. I'm already ahead. And then donk.
That was the play that made me realize I'll never play basketball again. I just looked up at my parents up in the stands that had to pay $5 to come and watch me embarrass them.
They're like,
I said, after this season, I'm retired.
You've brought shame upon our household.
Shame, shame, shame.
They just leave. You know, you see them, they just, you know, get up out of the stands.
Shakes his head.
Yeah. I'll be in the car.
Get in the car.
Actually, walk home.
It's an away game. His buddy believes him pretty quickly because all he has to do is, you know, lay down that sweet chain. Nelly rap.
Oh, I love that.
Suck you in the stomach 2 times. And he goes, oh my God, Billy, because obviously the mind of a child, man, childlike wonderment. I can buy that you made a wish and now you're a child. They decide, we're going to have a romp in New York City. You need to stay in the city. That way we can find a different Zoltar machine. It'll get you back. But we're going to need to find you a place to stay. Let's stay at this really seedy motel. He's like, I don't want to stay here. He's like, it's St. James. It's religious. It'll be okay.
On Wikipedia it says a flop house. So that's how ghetto.
It's a... $17.50 a night, which is equivalent to $47.39. For New York City, that seems like it's pretty good. That one-bedroom hotel room is probably running you about $2,000.
Safety nowadays. Not guaranteed, but...
he spends the night listening to sirens, screaming, and gunshots. I like how, like, towards the end, he just, like, becomes desensitized to it.
Yeah. He's just sitting there having a snack, watching TV. Pow, pow, pow.
He's not just watching TV, Michael. He's watching The French Connection.
Yeah.
A movie that we did on this here podcast.
Oh. I watched this movie twice.
Gene Hackman.
This week, and I didn't even notice.
I like how he's watching, like, later in the movie, he's watching that scene of a guy on the rooftop shooting at Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
It's time for bed, turns it off, but then now you just hear the sounds of gunshots going on outside.
I was like, you turned it off at the best part. Like,
The next day, Billy and Josh set out looking for a Zoltar. They are able to find the carnival. They put in that request to find the specific carnival. They said it'll take a month to mail in, but it'll be about 6 weeks before you find out your decision. So in the meantime, you have to get a job. What do you know how to do? You want to be a delivery guy? Well, I can drive. Good point. Otherwise, that girl would have liked you. I do like computers. Man, stop with your computer nonsense. Yeah, this
he's
kid.
Like, computer operator.
So, 2008. Yeah. It's a computer operator, though, but for a toy company?
Oh, man.
I think yes. The easiest interview possible. Guy just clicked his pen a million times. You're missing a couple numbers in your social security. Oh, it's 12.
12.
Okay. It's just right. 12. He's like, it says you've studied for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to school? George Washington.
GW.
Oh, GW. My brother-in-law got his doctorate there. He's he goes, did you pledge? Every day. Part made
me laugh. That's such a good point.
every morning. Luckily, Elizabeth Perkins comes bursting in, interrupting the interview. She's starting ranting and raving about this other woman, to which, you know, the interviewer reluctantly looks around him and goes, when can you start?
He's like, soon.
Yeah, yeah, soon. How about now? They take him to his cubicle. You know, he's entering his files. That's when we see John Lovitz as his cubicle mate, who's just like, hey, bro, chillax. You're going too quick. You're going to get us all fired. It's either 10 files an hour or 50 files an hour. It's still an hour, big guy. to which he's like, oh, I like how he's like, yeah, that way he says something about that one woman who's just like really insatiable, and he goes, okay.
Oh yeah,
I'll stay away from her.
Yeah, he's like, she will wrap her legs around anything that says hi to her, and he's like, Paul, stay away. Okay. The best is when they call back to it at the dinner when he's all dressed in the tux. she's standing there in line at the buffet, and he's like,
He's like, I got some tiny corns to eat, sorry.
While bringing some files to a Xerox machine, Hanks collides into the owner of the company, who's played by Robert Loggia, who's being closely followed by Elizabeth Perkins and Kevin's dad, John Hurd. Just like on his tail, obviously the kiss asses of the office. They come colliding. We get files going flying everywhere. Loggia's like, I'm okay, but I appreciate the hustle. Kind of thing. Hanks weirdly makes kind of like, it's not necessarily like a ransom call, but he's calling his mom saying, your son is fine, which one, freaks her out even more, but two, he's doing it openly in his cubicle.
Yeah.
And he goes,
I'm not saying,
I'm not saying you'll never see him again. I was like, what are you doing, guy?
Hang it up.
Torturing his mom.
Hey, he's a nice kid. You'll get him back. And I'm like, oh, this is a private conversation. to which she was like, how do I know he's okay? Tell me something only he would know. To which she wants him to sing that song he sang to her when she was sick as a young baby.
Memories.
Luckily, he remembers. Because there was that moment where you can like read his lips. It's like, God damn it. What it? Oh, okay. And he sings it. And she... It devastates her.
Yeah, horribly.
And he's like, okay, bye. And just hangs up the phone. And then, luckily, it's payday. He's only been there a week. It's already time to get paid. $187?
Yeah, they really screw you, don't they?
$506.41 our money.
Bad.
Like for 1 week of pay?
Well, yeah. we don't know how long into the week he started.
I imagine it's just been 1 week.
A full week? Maybe started on a Wednesday.
Well, that's true. I don't know. Maybe he's salary? No. I tried to break it down. If it was like $187 for 1 week.
You don't know how many taxes are coming out or anything.
Yeah. Either.
That's also true. 187
in New York City, there's probably like 13% taxes.
That's... $4.67 an hour, and that's if, but that's with no taxes coming out. That's like, him and Billy get excited because they have all this money, to which they make the banker give them one $100 bill and $86 in ones. I like how she's like, how would you like that? And they have like a little private convo.
Sidebar.
He's like, three pennies, $100 bill, and 87 ones.
Okay. One, two. We cut to the next day where Hanks is going into the massive toy store down in New York City, FAO Schwartz, so he could just be a menace in the store, riding
play riding laser ponies, tag.
Playing laser tag with random kids. Yeah. It's not even his buddy Billy, because he's like, hey, what's your name?
Like literally real time matchmaking in Call of Duty.
Yeah.
playing it up, gets shot, and he's dying on the ground, to which Robert Loggia walks up. He's like, you work for me, don't you? Oh shit, yes. Are you here with your kids? No. Just playing with other children. Nothing weird about that, sir. Loggia is asking his opinion on other toys. You know, he tells him he comes here every Saturday, you know, because you can't really see, you know, we just make them and send them out. You don't get to see how people play, how react to them. Tom Hanks is giving his honest opinion about some stuff, you know. Oh, I like this hockey table game, but the pieces don't move. They just kind of slide around and do whatever. They hit that floor piano, which is like probably the iconic moment from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
To which they have a moment where, you know, they're playing piano with their feetsies on the ground, doing chopsticks, having a good old time. Lucia asks him, he's like, where do you work again? He goes, oh, I work with computers. He goes, not anymore, sir.
Would you like to cut be vice to president?
Of product development.
Yeah.
That's when they say he's been here 2 weeks.
Mm,
I think they say 10 days. He's been here 10 days.
Yeah.
Because Elizabeth Perkins and John Hurt are pissed. He got so-and-so's office. So-and-so's office is bigger than mine.
Yeah.
The old man's lost it. That kind of thing. Tom Hanks invites Billy to his office to let him know that he gets paid to play with all these toys. Billy holds up that Barbie, goes, what is the... They just put that in here. Just kind of throws it off to the side. John Hurt is giving a presentation for a Transformer toy that is a skyscraper. To which, you know, everyone's given generic, oh, yes, very good, very good, very good. And then, you know, Tom Hanks holds up his hand. I don't get it.
No, get but the best part is he's fiddling with it the entire time.
He breaks his arm off.
Yeah, he's during like his, yeah, his speech there, and he's just, like, fiddling with it the entire time and breaking it, and he's just like, I don't get it.
This is pure chaos background.
Well, if you look at your product report, you look at your product report, you'll see that, you know, Transformers, you know, make this much money. While this isn't a specific Transformer, if we get even a quarter of the Transformer market kind of thing, he goes, yeah, but I don't get it.
It's a building that transforms? Yeah. What?
Why would you want to play with a building?
Yeah. To which, yeah, I agree too. Robert Loggia's like, expound on it. What don't you understand? He goes, it doesn't do anything. You know, he goes, a lot of toys that transform do stuff, cars, planes, who wants to play with a building? And he goes, well, it's actually a skyscraper. Oh.
Oh, sorry.
No.
Yeah, I still don't get it.
He goes, why can't it be, you know, I don't know, like a bug?
You know what's and cooler than like, buildings? Bugs.
Yeah.
Bug. Like a prehistoric transformer.
And they all start chattering.
And the boss is like, way to go, Josh.
Just built a billion-dollar line.
I love how John Hurt is all pissed off and like they're going to the car with Elizabeth Breen. Like, I don't get it. Bug. I want a bug. It's like nobody just comes to meetings and says bugs.
Bugs.
Bugs. Well, now that Hanks is VP of product development, he's probably making a bit more than $187 because he's upgraded from CD Motel to Penthouse Apartment.
That place is sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I meant to look up, because I'm sure that apartment exists in New York somewhere, how much that apartment would cost nowadays. But he's renting all his furniture. What I mean, he only his furniture. He has a bunk bed.
A bunk bed.
And a trampoline. An inflatable Godzilla. A Coke machine that you just throw socks at it and it gives you soda.
But he rigged it. He rigged it up that way.
No. So. Same with the pinball machine. You don't need quarters or anything.
Yeah. Oh, I found it. I found the apartment.
Ooh.
It sells for $9.7 million.
Oh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's in Soho.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It is a sweet apartment, though.
Yeah. And a penthouse floor, too.
Yeah.
So you got windows everywhere. My wife noticed he put the bunk bed in where the dining area should be because they have, like, those benches that were, like, built into the side of the wall.
Yeah.
The bedroom is in the dining room. we cut to the swanky company party. Everyone's all stiff, looks the same. Robert Loggia is like getting a bunch of people just saying, you know, good job on this one, you know, yeah, kind of thing. Elizabeth Perkins wants to know what his mind is on. He's like, hey, we're having a party. Have a drink. I don't want to talk business. No talking shop. To which we see Tom Hanks roll in dressed like Elvis.
Looking dapper as fuck.
Yeah.
That's a sick suit.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's a rental. Yeah. The bow tie's real, though. That's why I was late. He's like, I tied it myself. Yeah. That's why I was late. Like, he's all trying to... Everyone's laughing at him. Loggia's just like, that is one killer suit.
Yeah.
We get him just, like, eating random stuff, but then, like he has, like, a banana, and then he just puts the peel on the counter. He grabs celery with some sort of dip in the middle, and he's just licking it out the middle. That's when he runs into that one gal that Lovitz told him, like, kind of walks around her, licks the dip out of the celery, and puts it on the table. Grabs a long carrot and then like quadruple dips in the ranch.
Oh, I'd love it. Bite, just like
dip, bite, dip, dip, bite. Yeah. But like fast. Like yeah. Dip, bite, dip, bite, dip, bite, dip, bite. Grabs the tiny corn and eats it.
Like a typewriter.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Perkins is hanging out with John Hurd and a bunch of other guys. Those guys are clearly wasted. Hurd's whining like he does a lot of this movie. She's like, I'm going to move up the chain a little bit. It's time to move on. I'm going to go hit on Tom Hanks. Hey, do you want to get out of here? Yeah, sounds good. Okay. Wait, well, this, she gives him that caviar.
Yeah, try the beluga caviar first.
Yeah, he's like wiping it out of his mouth.
Just like spitting it on the ground.
Can I get a milkshake?
He's like, can I just get like a milkshake or something?
He's like on the verge of tears. Like...
What would make the situation better is a milkshake.
do you want it? Well, they stopped for food. I don't know why you didn't get a milkshake.
Yeah, you got fries and milkshake.
No. She's like, you want to get out? She's like, yeah. They go to a limo. She's like, I like to go to things a little bit more intimate than the company party kind of thing. And he's clearly a 13-year-old in a limo for the first time.
Yeah, clicking buttons and stuff.
Turn lights on, off, door click, 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 click. Sunroof open, sunroof closed. Grabs the phone. Meanwhile, she's just like talking shop about, you know. And then she's just like, "What are you? Are you gonna call somebody? No, no. You can eat these fries. No."
The fact that it didn't make sense till so late in the movie that he was like really a child is just disturbing. Like
Brandon, I wouldn't. She's like, never once if I'm meeting somebody like that, I'm like, well, that's clearly somebody who made a wish to a Zoltar machine.
I guess.
Why is this 30-year-old man just unlocking the door 100 times? Like,
yeah, she's still like, I'm still gonna pursue this.
Yeah, he's nice.
I think she's still kind of in that, pardon my French, but like a little bit of that gold digger area right now. Because that's what they mentioned that that's what she does. She's just another link in the chain.
She hops from VP to VP. No.
Obviously, by the end, she realizes that that's not who she is anymore because she finally meets a good person, you know?
Who she really is.
Yes. So she's still in that mode.
True.
That's what I'm picking up on. They drive by. He goes, oh, that's my apartment. She's like, oh, I'd really love to see where you live. And he goes, oh, okay, come on in.
She didn't call BS on a $9 million apartment.
Yeah, the limo hits its brakes and goes flying backwards. He was like, so are you by yourself? Yeah, recently? Pretty recently. And he goes, oh, well, you'll get over it soon. Well, they said 6 weeks. She's like, well, that's what Xanax is for, you know? Like, they take the clinky elevator upstairs. They go to the door, and she's like, I don't know if I want to do this yet. And he's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, she's like, I do want to sleep over. And he goes, oh, you mean like stay the night? And she goes, yeah. And he goes, all right, but I'm on top. And then he pulls the key that's on the necklace around his, unlocks the door and opens up, and it is clearly a child's apartment. A child with infinite amount of money. She's in awe. This is ridiculous. Hey, you want a soda? I'll get you a soda. Like, you don't have quarters or anything. Like, he convinces her, hop on the trampoline. She's reluctantly, she's a little uptight about it. Finally, She relents and is able to enjoy herself on the trampoline. We cut to him, you know, coming out in his pajamas. She's on the bottom bunk. And they just have a little sleepover. Nothing more than that.
I like how when he comes around the corner and they make eye contact and she's like, oh, look, I'm wearing your jersey. And he's like, And then gets a running start and jumps on the top of it. Then he's like, does the game. He's like, pick a hand, you know?
Pick a hand. And then she gets it wrong. He does that little giggle. Goes up. Sticks hand down again. She picks it. He's like, oh, it's a glow in the dark compass. It'll help you guide you so you're never lost.
Just, yeah. And they go to sleep.
And then she goes to sleep. And the next morning, Elizabeth Perkins is back in the car with John Hurd. She starts playing with all the dials. He's like, wait, yeah, stop it. You got to play with everything. And, you know, he's a little upset because they're clearly some sort of item-ish thing. But they're at the very least, they're hooking up. We know that.
They are an item because she kicks him out and says, like, I'm giving back your key or something.
Yeah, I just see that more as, like, I don't think they're dating. I just think that they're hooking up.
An item, yeah.
Yeah. John Hurd bursts into Tom Hanks' office and says, guess what, buddy, we're playing racquetball. Well, I never played racquetball before. He's like, wouldn't you rather play basketball or something? He's like, no, this is what we're playing. He explains the rules. We get a montage of Tom Hanks being real bad at racquetball and then suddenly getting okay at racquetball and then being really good at racquetball to the point where the score is 19-18. So he picks up pretty quick. Find out that John Hurd's been cheating because he caused something over the line that wasn't over the line. So they end up fighting over the ball, rolling around.
A great fight scene, by the way.
Yeah.
No, he cheated.
He's like, on the ground. Like,
where he's just keeping the ball away from him the entire time. Like,
switching hands.
Give it back.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that has like a sibling can. They know exactly those wrestle moves right there. Like
it's like violent but not violent. You know, you're still wrestling, but like
because you don't want to get in trouble or get anybody really seriously hurt. So,
well, cut to Tom Hanks has got his knee skinned, and he's pulling the tissue out of his nose, and he's bleeding. He didn't have to punch me. To which I go, oh, he's a lefty. This is the right side of his nose that's been punched. That's what I pay attention to.
I was like, not something I noticed, but details, hell yeah.
He's like, well, he was like, you just have to play his game. He's like, I tried to play his game and he beat me up.
Punched me.
Cut to Perkins bringing, you know, his shower stuff back to him. He's like, here, soap, shampoo, a razor, two ties, and your exercise tape. I want your keys back. To which he's like, are you sure about this? And he goes, yeah. And he's like, why him? And he goes, he's an adult.
Yeah.
To which we, the audience, go, we chortle to ourselves.
Chortle.
He's actually a 13-year-old.
Don't do it, lady.
Yeah.
First birthday, he goes out to dinner with Billy at this Italian restaurant where they put dough in their mouth and throw it at people.
Hopefully they don't make like a pizza with that either.
Yeah, but it's okay because they give you a whole cake for your birthday.
True.
Hot inflation's a bitch.
After which, Billy's like, you can go get us some dirty magazines and some beer. We'll have a good time. He goes, well, actually, I've got plans. I'll talk to you later. I'm meeting up with Elizabeth Perkins. Ooh, la la. Blows him off for her. They go to another party. They go to her place, to which they're like, let's get out of here. They go to another carnival. But now he can ride all the big kid rides, which is exciting for him. But unbeknownst to him, they walk completely by a Zoltar machine. We see it ominously flick on and flick off. They go back to her place, and she has sex with a 13-year-old.
But she doesn't know that.
But we do.
But she doesn't.
She should be more upset about this by the end of the movie.
Yeah, she's just like,
yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Holly weird.
But Hanks has a little pep in his step in the morning.
Yeah. I'm surprised he wasn't
high-fiving people in the hallway.
I'm surprised he wasn't like wearing a red polo or something. Pulling like some
some Ron Swanson Tiger ones.
Hey, you guys need some money? You look like you need 20 bucks.
Thanks, Ron. First you take the cow to the slaughter field.
That's after the snake juice night.
Yeah. Let the grease soak up the...
Yeah.
He goes to his assistant, has her get him a coffee. But you don't drink coffee. Make it black. Okay.
Today's a new day.
I almost was expecting, like, when he's jumping in the air, doing the... for it to, like, freeze frame.
Yeah.
With him jumping. Billy gets the letter saying they know where the carnivals are. There's a list of all the carnivals. Cut to while Hanks is also having to give a toy proposal. He's flipping out about it, but he has this idea for an electronic comic book that lets you decide your own ending kind of thing, or a choose your own adventure, essentially. Billy confronts him, giving him the letter, but Hank is really trying to blow him off because he's really enjoying his life as an adult. To which Billy asks, "Who the fuck do you think you are?" And I go, "Damn.
Wow." I go, "Kids, earmuffs."
That F word had 5 knuckles on it.
It did. That was a full 5-finger slap.
To which I looked up. I was like, it is a PG film, but when was the... And I was like, okay, I know Temple of Doom is the reason why we have PG-13. Because a lot of parents were taking their kid to another Indiana Jones movie, and Temple of Doom freaked a lot. But Red Dawn is the first PG-13 film, and that's 84, 4 years before this. So I just thought it was strange that, while you said at the beginning, yes, there is a lot of swearing. I would say, like, more mild swearing.
Yeah, but the fact that there's that an F-bomb.
To which I also found, read, that this movie, Spaceballs, and the first Beetlejuice movie also have one F-word but retain a PG rating. Rarified air.
Do you think it was written in the dialogue, or do you think Billy
improvised it?
I don't know.
Because he's the type of, like, actor, and you watch, like, all the movies that he's in when he's younger. He plays that role where he's just kind of the obnoxious.
Is he the kid from Terminator 2?
He's the kid in Honey, We Shrunk the Kids. He's the middle son. Like, he just has that persona about him where I think that could have been ad-libbed and it just worked perfectly.
Billy's cool. He says F-words.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was ad-libbed. I don't think they would have put it in there if it was ad-libbed, to be honest. Because they'd probably be like, damn, kid, relax.
You're just Billy, man.
He's trying to get through to Hanks, and Hanks does kind of come to the realization that he isn't, in fact, a 30-year-old man. He is a 13-year-old boy. And he comes to this realization as we have a montage of him creepily watching children at play wearing a trench coat. He goes to schools, watches children get their pictures taken. He goes to a park, watches two kids play baseball. He goes to that drugstore where they had the baseball cards to see the girl that he likes get in the car, the kid who can drive. He confronts Perkins about it. It's just like, I have a confession. I want to go home to my family. To which she's like, oh, you're married.
Oh, you're married.
He goes, no, I'm not. It's worse. I'm a 13-year-old boy. And she goes, I feel like it's more of like a, we're all kids. I get it.
Yeah.
Don't try to make me feel like an idiot for doing this already. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how it, he's like, no, I'm being serious. I am a 13-year-old boy. I made a wish, and here I am. We have a big presentation tonight, and I need to go to bed and get some rest, and I suggest you leave, kind of thing. All right, whatever. Billy comes marching in to Hanks's office the next morning, slams a paper on his table telling him exactly where the Zoltar machine is. Not even just a list of carnivals. This is a specific Zoltar machine in this exact location. Be there or be square. To which he gets paged. We need you in the conference room. And he goes, I'll be right there. And Billy thinks, I lost him. Hanks goes in, gives his presentation about the electronic comic book. You could tell his head's not really in it. John Hurd hits us with the, I don't get it. To which Elizabeth Perkins chimes in, hey, you know, this is goes, you know, there's more stories, and if you want to keep buying, you know, other stories, you can just keep doing that. We figured it'll cost $7 to make, and we'll sell it for $19. Tom Hanks is like, I'll be right back. I need to go.
Then as he's leaving, I like how someone's like, what could a kid would pay 20 bucks for a comic?
Yeah, John Hurd is just like, what, you telling me a kid would want to pay $19 for a comic book? And that's when she goes, a kid? He's a kid.
Oh. Wow.
I'll be right back. So she storms out to chasing after him.
I gotta go throw
him.
Up.
Yeah, I have some thinking to do. Some new police stations to go to turn myself in.
Yeah, some self-realization.
Billy sees that Tom Hanks is getting in the cab, and he's like, yeah, the boy's back. We got him. Perkins comes out. This moment was so funny to me. She comes out, and she's like, do you know Josh? And he goes, yeah, why? And he goes, who are you? And he goes, I'm his girlfriend. And Billy goes, he does that face. I'm like, uh-oh. Woof. Ruh-roh. She's like, I need to know exactly where he is. Cut to Hanks at the Midway. It looks like the same carnival that we were at with her. Again, everything's gone, except we can see that lone Zoltar machine in the distance that he takes off running to. He goes up to it, sees it's plugged in, unplugs it, hits it on the side to wake it up. It wakes up, puts his quarter in, makes his wish, I wish I was a kid again. Sinks it again right in the mouth, to which is right when Perkins rolls in. She realizes that he actually is a child when she sees the card that says your wish was granted. He informs her, he's like, I have a million reasons to go home, but I had one reason to stay, you know, kind of thing. And she's just like, oh, no, it's okay. Let me drive you home, big nerd champ.
It's the least I could do.
So when they're in the car, they're at the house. He's like, that's my house. I live there. Oh, it's nice. You know, he pleads with her, you know, you could come with me. You know, you can become a 13-year-old girl again. To which she's like, nah, it was hell the first time. I'm good. She hits us with a look me up in 10 years, which is kind of weird. That's like a little added creepiness to it.
He'll be 23, and presuming if she's 30, she'll be 43. Yeah.
So
interesting.
He goes in for the kiss, but she kisses his forehead. And to your point about the script, Brandon, the script was supposed to be that she gave him one last peck, like a quick peck, to which Elizabeth Perkins in real life was like, no. My character now knows the situation.
You duped me once.
I will kiss him on the forehead. Okay, great compromise.
Yeah.
He gets out of the car and he does the little, I'm clearly a little boy wave, you know, with his suit on.
Yeah.
She turns around, she looks down for a second, looks back up, and now, you know, it's a short kid in a big old suit. Turns around again, does the same wave, but it's like the suit sleeves are flopping back and forth. To which, you know, she gives the meal salute and drives away, and then we get the cut of him walking in the house, and, Mom, I'm home! Josh. Mom freaks out, Josh! Father, still not home. but, you know. And then I wrote, movie ends leaving us to deal with the fallout. I feel like there needs to be questions that the mother's going to have for young Josh that he isn't going to be able to answer. Where were you? Who took you? What happens next? What happens at McCallum Toys?
Did you just lost a VP.
Yeah.
And what are you doing? What about your apartment? Your apartment rented, and your rented furniture, and all the debt you just racked up.
It's under a fake social, though, so whoosh, it's gone.
And he paid in cash.
That's true.
Also, Elizabeth Perkins now has to deal with the thought of knowing she slept with a 13-year-old.
for the rest of her life.
He was the perfect guy, too. He was teaching that kid algebra.
Yeah, he was nice. He was...
Oh, yeah. I studied algebra, too.
Did you all watch that PBS documentary about Columbus?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was a fourth ship.
Yeah. Oh, you did watch it. No, I studied history.
Oh. A scholar, huh?
To tie it back to our previous run of episodes, the AFI has ranked this the number 42 comedy of all time and the number 10 fantasy of all time.
Fantasy? I guess it is, you know. Okay.
I believe number one is It's a Wonderful Life for fantasy. No, it's Wizard of Oz, but It's a Wonderful Life is in the top three, and I remember.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be.
No.
Weird.
Interesting.
No. So, I mean, like I said, I do like this movie. It had been a long time since I'd seen it, so I did end up I watched it twice, just because I was like, I didn't remember all the minutia of the stuff in between. I remembered, obviously, Zoltar and the piano scene. I couldn't remember if they actually hooked up or if it was just that one night. I forgot that they were actually quasi-dating for weeks.
For weeks?
Like a month.
Yeah.
Because it was the whole 6 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, they were serious. What about the comic book? He was staying over at her house working, like, on that big-ass computer, like, in the middle of the night while she's sleeping. I mean, they were an item for a while.
He's just focusing on his career, you know?
Yeah.
She tried to have the talk with him, like, what is this? What are we?
Right, right.
And he's like, he has, like, the comic book, and it's just like, what are we doing? He's like, oh, you know. Holds up the comic book. And I did a visual gag for the podcast people out there, but worth it. To which, you know, they make out, so she's like, I feel good about this.
You shouldn't.
Yeah.
Technically, that is, it's technically not her fault, okay?
No. No.
But.
Still.
Besides that.
The 80s and 90s were a different time, though, when this movie was made. Like.
That is true. This movie's almost 40 years old.
Yeah. Fuck.
37 this year.
Crazy.
Yeah. Anything else we need to...
Is it a thriller? I'm just kidding.
Is it a thriller? Boy, is it not. I did look.
I mean, I wouldn't...
Any movie we do pre-2007, I will look up.
I don't think... I wouldn't classify it as a rom-com, though.
Yeah, I just... Personally. That's what... That after watching it two times, I was like, why was this on rom... Like, this was one, not one, but two rom-com lists. I tried to, you know, cross-reference it, and I was like...
Yeah.
Okay. But there's a little bit of romance.
But hey, it was still fun to watch and be teleported back to my childhood.
Yeah.
Was this the year you were born, Brandon? 88?
This movie was about you?
No. I was 2 years old when it came out.
Oh, you're 86. I always think you're 3 years older than me, but you're 5. That's how math works, people.
You're 81? Holy cow. You guys are old. Oh, the year you were born. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm 91.
Oh. Whatever. It was a joke.
My brother is 89.
No, what's sitting it, Brandon? No. Your brother's 89?
Yeah.
No. And then Michael's 93.
Mm-hmm. Just a kid.
Just a baby.
Well, now that you know how old we are, everybody.
Yeah.
We need to talk about what we're doing next week.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
We're fast-forwarding just 1 year to 89, the year of Brandon's brother.
Yeah.
89, dude. We're doing a me pick. This is my favorite romantic comedy. This was the first one I chose, first one that popped into my brain. I'll be holding up boom boxes for an entire hour next week because we're doing Say Anything... ...
Love it.
Think I forgot about the ellipses. I didn't say anything. Yeah, we'll be back next week with Say Anything. What do you say we go ahead and cut print check the gate?
See you guys.
See you.